things.
Bob Bertkowski spoke with the media today after a practice, and he admitted that the passing game isn't where he wants it to be. Does getting Blackman here help?
I think it will. It just depends on how well he picks it up and how fast he picks it up because, again, those guys, if they're thinking too much out there, they can't play to their capabilities. They certainly aren't going to play to the speed that they're capable of. So a lot of that will depend on Justin, how fast our passing game gets picked up.
How about the other receivers? You mentioned, I think it was 6 or 7 days ago, that you were waiting to see LaRon Robinson have a breakthrough play. It seems like maybe he's starting to grab a hold of the role that you have for him. What about some of the other guys?
Well, LaRon has come, you know, he made a couple plays in the scrimmage. The drops are starting to decrease, which is a good sign. You can tell just by the way he's practicing, how fast he's practicing. He's getting more comfortable with the offense. Cecil Shorts has made some plays for us, and then there's some times he hadn't, and he's just been a little inconsistent, but we did switch him positions from one side to the other, so he has a little bit of a learning curve he has to deal with. I think Mike Thomas has really, in the last few days, started to show his capabilities, especially inside. He's just and he's really come out with great effort to get things done, and that's nice to see him kind of respond like that. When Cecil kind of moved over and took his spot, he took it as a challenge, and he had two ways he could have gone. I think he took it in the positive way, and he has really worked hard.
How about a couple other guys? Brian Rubisky.
Brian has had he's had a consistent camp. Lots on his plate. He plays a lot of different positions, but he's had a good camp.
And he's not a receiver, but a guy that I've noticed on the field the last couple of days, and the good thing is he's on the field, is Zach Miller.
It's good to have him back too as well. You're talking about a guy that's you can create some mismatches with him with safeties and or linebackers, and you know he's unfortunately had the injury bug working against him. I'm just glad he's back in that huddle.
All right, if you'd like to join us on the Mike Mularkey Show this evening, you are more than welcome to do so. We communicate with the coach and you via Twitter, at Jags Voice, that's at JAGSVOICE, and then again through Facebook.com/JacksonvilleJaguars. We will take our first break of the evening, and when we return, more with the head coach here on the Mike Mularkey Show on the Jaguars Radio Network. Limited number of half-pack season tickets are available right now. Starting at just $200, you can pick either the Giants or Falcons preseason game, then pick two from the Texans, Bengals, Lions, and Titans. Then pick two from the Jets, Bears, Colts, and Patriots. Call the Jaguars ticket office, 904-633-2000, or jaguars.com/halfpacks. Brian Sexton back with the head coach. Mike Mularkey again, at Jags Voice, at JAGSVOICE, and facebook.com/JacksonvilleJaguars. Coach, game week. And I know it's not a typical game week because it's the first preseason game, but for a lot of these guys, it's a very important opportunity to show their stuff.
Sure it is. The young guys especially, I mentioned to them last night that especially with the special teams, we need some guys to start showing up. And because we watched the scrimmage, there are some things I wasn't real pleased with. I was just basically reconfirming what John Bonamigo was saying to him about how we want to do things. And I stressed to them that, you know, we have a kind of an idea of what we're going to do roster-wise, but if we find that we can carry some players at a different position because of their ability to play special teams, we may be short other areas. So they got to do something, especially in games coming up like this Friday night. When they get their chances, they've got to have a wow factor that opens up our eyes,
right,
and makes us see that, hey, this guy has some potential to be, you know, a first of all special teams player, and then let's see where he goes from there. But also, the important thing is these guys have to realize every other team is watching every play of every other team. And so it's not just us they're impressing. They may catch on somewhere else like I did when I got released, you know, my rookie year in San Francisco. Everybody's watching them. So it's very important they get their chance, they do something good.
You know, I've known John Bonamigo a long time, your special teams coordinator, and I was talking with him last week, and, you know, where are you, what are you seeing? And he was just shaking his head, you know, first week of camp, they got this, we don't have this, we got to get this. Today on the practice field, he was very encouraged. I listened to him on a couple of the different drills. Not talking to me, talking to the players, and the way that he was responding, it seems like some of these guys are starting. The Brandon Marshall comes to mind. You know, he really is.
He has grown immensely since he's been here. I mean, he started off slow here, I'll be honest with you, and it's been addressed, and he has taken the challenge as well, and he's doing some good things both defensively and special teams.
Do you have to tell these guys that making the roster for many of them is about special teams, or do they know that coming in?
I would think they would know that, but I'm going to reconfirm it because special teams is important to me. It's important to our team. I know how it makes differences in every week. Games are won and lost, and I made a living for 6 years on special teams before I got a chance to start in Pittsburgh, so it's very important.
How about Brian Anger and Josh Scobie? And, you know, people are focusing on Anger, obviously, because he's got such a big leg. Your thoughts on where the young punter is and then Scobes?
I think we're very fortunate. We may have two of the best in the NFL. Obviously, Brian hasn't had one punt yet, but if he does what I've seen him do, he could have a great career and do a lot of things for us, for this team, with field position, which is critical in the outcomes of games. So, and then Scobie came right in, and you know, he's been so productive. But to have those two guys, they'll be great weapons for us.
Well, Jeff Loggeman was saying, you know, in our podcast of the scrimmage the other night, the most important part that he saw was not individually but together on field goals and extra points, and the ability for Scobie to trust Anger as a holder.
That the whole mechanics of the snap, hold, and kick are never talked about until it's something catastrophic happens. But it is so critical, the timing, and I know people don't realize, but the snap to the hold to the kick has got to be 1.3 seconds or under, or there's going to be pressure somewhere from, you know, a crease,
right,
or from the outside. So it is imperative that it's around that number every single time. And there's really not a lot of room for error.
So the ball's got to be snapped perfectly, grabbed perfectly, and set perfectly.
And I'm talking perfectly.
In 1.3.
Yeah, and most kickers are so particular, because I also was a holder in my career, and it is so, you know, is there's such a and the snap is amazing. You know, most people don't know that the rotation of the ball when it's coming back, it can be snapped to where the holder actually catches it with the laces exactly like the punter or the kicker wants it. You can catch the lace, put it down, and whatever the lean is. But, I mean, that's how detailed it is with the snap and the hold.
I'm trying to think of something that someone does, you know, and I'm thinking of my phone. I mean, how many times do you pick up your cell phone and you go to answer it and, you hit it wrong and you got to try 3-4 times? And that's a simple thing to do when you're looking at it. Catching the ball and putting it down in 1.3 seconds.
And kicking it.
That's,
yeah.
Yeah, that's, that does, it says an awful lot, doesn't it, Coach?
It's very important. And, you know, we didn't have that this offseason
with Josh
not being here. So they're getting hundreds and hundreds of opportunities now.
Did you know when you drafted Anger that he would be capable of that? Did he do enough of it at Cal? Was that something? I mean, obviously the leg
first. You ask him if they've held. Most punters, that's kind of the case. Because of their time away from the team is – I mean, there is a lot of time that just the three of them are together. So you really would like to have that guy. You know, some quarterbacks do it, but that pulls the quarterback away from other drills. But, yeah, we knew he could do it, and he's doing a good job with it.
All right, we've got a couple questions from Twitter, but we're due for a break. So why don't we go ahead and take that now. We'll come back and have a question from Hodari, who wants to know about the Jaguars receiver. You can join us on Twitter as well, at Jags Voice. Don't forget, Facebook.com/JacksonvilleJaguars. As we go, a reminder to visit Sonny's and try the new barbecue baskets. The smoked, pulled, and sliced meat basket. You say it, folks. For $7.99 or just a little more, choose between two other mouthwatering baskets. Sonny's, the first name, the barbecue. This is the Mike Mularkey Show on Jaguars Radio. Well, you need a truck that works for you even when you're not working. The 2012 Silverado is the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickup truck that fits your lifestyle. See your Southern Chevy dealer today, a proud sponsor of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Back on the Mike Mularkey Show, the head coach is here. You can interact via Twitter, at Jags Voice. And Coach, Hodari wants to know if your receivers need to know all the positions, X, Y, slot, Z. And is that common among teams, or do they just teach one?
No, really, you'll find out about a guy how much workload he can put, you know, on his plate. So you'd like him to learn one position and know it really well, and then you'll move him, see how he adapts to it. And, you know, some guys are capable of doing it, and some guys can really only learn one position. And we don't want to put him in position to fail. So we try to make sure our guys are lined up and in a place that they're comfortable and confident in what they're doing. And there's it's rare that a lot of guys can learn them all, but the guys that can do that obviously have a better chance of making the team.
Have you had one?
Hines Ward.
I was just about to say, yeah. Probably Ward. being the tremendous guy that he was, lasted as long as he could because he probably changed, right?
Yeah, Hines could do a lot of things for you. I mean, not just to me. We had him playing quarterback, and you know, we had him in the backfield as a tailback, and we had him all over the place.
Yeah. Here's another one, Coach. Will performance dictate how long starters are going to play Friday night, or is that predetermined?
Well, we have an idea how long that's going to be. It may go a little bit longer, but we're going to kind of see how we are health-wise by the time this week's over with. We still have, you know, full padded practice tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday.
Will you have any guards left by the time you get to Friday night?
No, we've got some guys dinged up on the line, and I'm a little concerned about that. So we got to just make sure that, and again, a lot of that has to do how the Giants play their personnel as well. So we've got an idea. We're going to play it out that way and may have to adjust based on what they do.
Do you have to back off on the full padded contact when you have, you know, one position that is decimated essentially until you get some of these guys back?
No, not really.
No, you just keep going.
We're going to keep going. You know, we've got some guys. We moved Drew Nowak over from defensive line to a guard, and it's amazing how fast he's picked up some things.
Right, I was going to say, that's kind of a tough transition, an undrafted rookie coming in as a defensive tackle, and now he's a guard.
Well, he's kind of down the depth chart only because we've got our most depth is at defensive tackle, and he just came in here and he flashed that he's got the toughness that we're looking for. He's athletic. He's extremely smart. And then, you know, that it's not much different as far as the leverage and the hands and all those things. So there's He's at his second day, and he's already taking snaps with the second offense.
Well, he's got a lot of desire then, huh?
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm going to put him in there against the Giants.
Yeah, it might be a little difficult against that.
That might be a little hard, but no, I think we're okay in regards to the pads because of the CBA. You know, it's really one practice.
You got to get it in.
We got to get – and you're limited to how many padded practices you can have, and you really – it's hard to evaluate and fairly evaluate players when they're not in pads and not going full speed. Right. Like that scrimmage was amazing – teaching material and evaluating material, just like preseason games are.
So when you turned the video on, you saw some things that you hadn't been able to see even in a padded practice.
Correct. Yes, especially when it's going like the goal line and some of those things. It's just I can't explain the evaluation process and the number of padded practices, especially when you get into the season. You're only allowed to have 14 padded practices entire season. So you got to get them in now, and you got to work on your pad level and everything that goes with that, because once the season starts, it's really limited when you can do it.
How healthy is your team? I mean, I know we got a couple of guys that are sitting out at guard right now, and obviously you've got Daryl Smith with the groin is working his way back. But in terms of bumps and bruises and dings and
the norm, okay. I think we, you know, I asked Mike Ryan, our trainer, about where are we compared to other, and he said, you know, he felt like we were a little bit under the norm, that we're doing okay.
How about Rasheen Mathis in his return? Sure seems like he's full go and out there. What have you seen from Rasheen?
It's been very pleasant what I've seen to have him back. Very confident in what he's doing and very anxious to get in there. If it's not him that's holding himself back, it's us that are just monitoring him. And you know, really, we did not want him to play in the scrimmage. And I asked the coaches, I said, look, we don't know his body. We really don't know players' bodies like they know. If he'd like to get some chances and take a few reps, let's let him make the decision on whether he wants to play. And he asked, yeah, I did. And he did well.
Yeah.
So I think that'll gradually get better and better. He'll get more reps as we go, but it's nice to have him back.
How about Derek Cox? You know, he missed a good chunk of the end of last season as well. And I was watching Mel Tucker and the way they were interacting today in a couple of drills, and it sure seemed like Derek looks pretty darn good.
He does look good. You're talking about a big physical corner out there, especially a cover two corner that will come up and tackle. He's had a good camp, and especially when they've gotten into some bump and run against our receivers. Our guys have struggled getting off of it with him.
And obviously you've got Aaron Ross, who'll be back, I think, tomorrow.
He's supposed to be with him.
Yeah, right.
He's supposed to bring a medal back with him.
Exactly.
So, no, he should be back. He's flying in tonight, and we'll have him for practice tomorrow. And he is really, since he's got here, he has been really good for us. So we're fortunate.
Any young guys? I mean, how's Will Middleton doing? He's another guy that got banged up last year. And Antonio Denard is a guy whose, you know, name I've heard called a lot out there on the practice field. I mean, how are some of these other guys doing?
Well, Denard finished, unfortunately for the offense, finished with a touchdown on an interception today, which is not good for the offense, but great for the defense.
Yeah, great for him, sure.
You know, Middleton's doing good. Ashton Ubodi is back.
Coming back.
Actually taking him off the physical, disabled sheet that I get. So he's out practicing. We got a good group, especially at the safeties. We've got some good guys. Chris Brzezinski's made a couple big plays out there for us. So I think we're pretty good in that
back end.
Happy
with where you're at there.
Yeah, definitely.
Good. All right. Hey, let's take a break. We'll come back. Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today at Jags Voice, at JAGSVOICE, with your questions for the coach, Facebook.com/JacksonvilleJaguars. More to come with head coach Mike Mularkey after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. All right, rolling right along here. Brian Sexton with the head coach, and you can certainly join us at Jags Voice on your Twitter account, Jacksonville Jaguars, Facebook.com/JacksonvilleJaguars, if you've got a thought there. Coach, let's talk about your quarterback, Blaine Gabbert. Thought he looked very good on Friday night at the scrimmage and struggled a bit out there this morning. Give us an accurate assessment of where he's at today.
Okay. I would say that he's one of the most improved players that we've had in camp. I can just tell you, I think he's taken a gradual climb up from even when we first got here, but it's really been a steady climb for what he's doing. I was very proud of him what he did on Friday night. He has a lot of pressure on him. He's had a lot of pressure on him since we've been here and since last year. To go out there for the first time in front of, 15,000 fans and really executed very well. And I know people were disappointed that he threw a couple checkdowns, but, we stress take what the defense gives you in coverage. And by doing that, we move the ball right down the field and score a touchdown. And that's what he's trying to do what we're asking him to do. Bigger plays will develop after you throw those checkdowns, they start to come up, then you throw it over their head. But he's done some really, really good things. He's had some throws that, the average person off to the side would not realize it was not him. It was a poor route, which has happened. We threw a pick and everybody's thought, boy, that was a terrible throw. And it was a terrible route by one of our wide receivers that put him in that position. So, I think if we can help him outside, first of all, we've had way too many drops. The receivers know it. It's not something that I'm reminding him of. They've had way too many drops. So that doesn't make anything look good.
Right.
It makes the whole offense not look good. And I think we need to do some things up front a little better in protection, and that'll make Blaine even take the next step up.
His poise is so apparent. I mean, from the press box, from the practice field, you can see it. He doesn't jump the first person that comes back to the huddle when they run a bad route. I mentioned to you, I saw an interview that he had done on Sports Illustrated with Peter King, and I thought his poise was remarkable for a young quarterback that has not lit the world on fire just yet and has the pressure you mentioned.
Right. Well, the one thing I think he can do better, and he will say this himself, is when something happens, like that route for the interception that he threw to Rasheen Mathis, is to go up to that receiver and tell him exactly what he was expecting him to do. And a little better communication of after the fact. This is what I was expecting. And he's aware of it. He's very well aware of it. He's just got to do it more. And I think the more he communicates and starts to get on the same level with these guys, the better we'll be.
Now, there's an example, again, of you can't always see, right?
Because
I was thinking that was poise, and you're saying he needs to be more vocal like that.
He doesn't have to be verbally abusive. There's a way of doing it. There's a way of getting that guy because, I think when a player says something to a player in a correction or in anything, I think players listen more to players than they do to coaches.
Sure.
I mean, it's just a natural reaction. And I just think there is a way of going about it so that player that's made the mistake doesn't feel like, I let everybody down.
Right.
All we're trying to do is, hey, this is the way to do it better. And I think if the quarterback can talk to him a little more and he's aware of it.
I thought he made a great throw. It was not a completed pass, but the one to Cecil Shorts in the end zone, I mean, he just lasered that ball right in there. The defender got in and knocked it away at the end, but on the run to his right, I mean, that was a really strong throw.
I stood behind during the scrimmage just because I wanted to control all the series and what was going on with the special teams, and really just I like being out there when I can be to watch from behind. It's much more going on from behind, and that throw I thought was his best throw of the night. The only guy that had a chance to catch that ball was Cecil Shorts.
Right.
And you're talking about a dart from about 27, 30 yards out that was a strike on the run, which was really impressive to see. But, I personally thought we had a chance to catch that ball, nobody else did.
I have a question from Alex who wants to know how Tyson Alualu and Terrence Knighton are progressing.
Very well. Tyson took some of his first snaps in team segments, which we're going to gradually introduce him back into the defense. And without even knowing, you know, Joe Cullen said, you know, I didn't even see him go in. All of a sudden, 93 was in.
You see him then.
Yeah, then he goes, yeah, then I saw him. I saw some of the things he could do. So he's just gaining more confidence about him, his, you know, his health. And Terrence has come in here with a good attitude. He's working to keep his weight down. Not only does he go through the 2.5 hour practices, but when the practice is over with, he spends 30 more minutes with our strength and conditioning staff working more. So he is constantly really putting a lot of pressure on himself to stay at a good weight, because he knows if he's at a good weight, he's tough to block.
A couple of other guys from that defensive group stood out. Aaron Morgan had a pretty good night the other night, didn't he?
Aaron Morgan has been impressive since we've been here. His motor, his just the techniques he's using, but our left tackles have really struggled against him. He's a physical player. Even without pads, I mean, he's coming at you from all angles. And he had a good night. He definitely had a good night. That would have been a career night if that was
a lot of games.
He'd had a lot of sacks. And
you know, he's a great example of a guy who came in about 235 pounds two and a half years ago, 2010, when he showed up. You know, he spent most of the year watching, and then he spent last year in IR, but he kept working on his body, and he absorbed what Joe Cullen was teaching, and now all of a sudden, a couple years later, you've got a player. It takes some time, doesn't it?
I can't wait to see him against some of these other left tackles in these preseason games and what he's capable of doing. I mean, it's been impressive compared to some of the guys I've been around the last few years on some other teams. He's got some – he can wreak havoc if he's doing what he's doing now in practice.
Here's another guy who has been on IR the last 2 years, De'Anthony Smith.
De'Anthony's also come about. You're talking about a guy that really has been away from football for 2 years.
Yeah.
And he just flashes. He's got such quickness. He's not a Terrence Knighton type, you know, clog up a hole and penetrate gaps with your size. He's got such quickness. He can make guys miss. I mean, he can get free runs on the quarterback just because of his quickness. And he's done a nice job.
And the other guy is C.J. Mosley.
Another one. Yeah. I mean, we got such depth there. I mean, the rotation that we can have, and to keep these guys fresh, especially in the middle of that line where you need those kind of guys to stop the run game. We're fortunate. We got to just keep these guys healthy, and Joe Cullen, you know, he's the best D-line coach I've been around. They really respond to him.
Well, Jarris Pendleton's a guy. I mean, he's just a seventh round pick, but he was going through the tight bag drill today, and his feet, for such a big man, his feet are outstanding.
There's another guy. I mean, you know, from small school, and you know, he just a little older in age coming out.
Yeah,
but
full grown man,
and he can, once he gets a little feel of Joe Cullen and what's expected from him, and watch the guy. All he has to do is watch the guys in front of him, and he'll know.
Is there such a thing as a little feel from Joe Cullen?
No.
it's hey, come on, let's go. As a guy who uses his voice for a living, I worry for Joe.
Yeah,
he's not going to have anything left.
No, he's not. No, I mean, really, he lays it all out.
Boy, does he.
His voice and everything.
It's so much fun to watch.
He's good. I'm glad he's on our side.
Yeah, I wouldn't want him on anyone else's team, for sure. All right, we're due for a break. We'll take it now. More to come with the head coach of the Jaguars, Mike Mularkey. Return with us, please, to Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the Head Coach's Show. It's Brian Sexton along with Mike Mularkey, and you certainly have the ability to join us at Jags Voice with your Twitter, facebook.com/JacksonvilleJaguars, if you choose to communicate that way. Coach, I have a question. Says we talk a lot about offense, but are there specific things you want to see from the defense on Friday? You mentioned Aaron Morgan.
Yeah.
What else would you like to see?
I'd like them to pick up right where they left off, and they really have. I mean, when they came in here for training camp, these guys have they're impressive to watch. I told him, I said, you know, it's been fun to be around them, especially now being with the coaches, which are all, you know, they've been here, but they're new with me. And then being around the players, it didn't surprise me the success they had last year. Now that I've been around them for 7 months, I can see why they did what they did in adverse.
Very adverse with all the injuries.
Yes. It's amazing what they accomplished last year. So all I asked them to do was continue to do what they did last year, continue to do their job. They're making our offense better every day. It's very competitive, and it will make us better with the way they work over there. And, you know, it's not a very complicated defense. It's just one that's very sound, very confident, and those are the kind that make offensive coordinator is very nervous. But we're pretty fortunate to have the guys we have up front, those front seven as well.
Another question about your defense, and that's about Andre Branch, the second-round pick. And the question simply is, what do you think of him, and do you think he's a guy who can be an every-down player this year?
I think he can be. I said it earlier, even in the OTAs when there were no pads on, he's not a nice guy at all. I mean, he is not pleasant to block. He does everything that he can to get to the quarterback, and sometimes it's hands in the face and ripping the guys, trying to rip his head off. I mean, he's relentless, and I think I said it tonight to Mel. I said, when this guy gets, especially a year with the strength coaches and grows up into that NFL body, right, he is going to be a tough guy to block. I just think a year he'll even be better.
I don't think it's a coincidence they gave number 90. I mean, the last guy to wear that around here was Tony Brackens, who was
a pretty good pass rusher. Yeah. No, I think
he could certainly chase it.
I think he's going to be a really good player.
And he's learning from a guy. I watched Mincy on the other side working with him, and that's,
I don't know if I've ever seen anybody work like Mincy. No. I mean, you talk about it, a guy that he comes to work every day and loves it and drives the rest of the players and drives the offensive guys. I mean, he'll stand across the line and before the ball snap and just tells them, I'm coming, and you better block me. I'm going to make you better. He's telling him, I'm going to make you better, but I ain't going to let you block me. And here's a guy that's played 1,000 snaps last year, and that's unheard of.
He's still going.
And he's still going strong. I love being around guys like that.
Yeah, it's pretty infectious. His teammates do, too.
Yes. Yeah, there's
important
no question
guy.
About that.
All right, we're due for another break. More to come. Head coach Mike Mularkey joins us on the Mike Mularkey Show. At Jags Voice, Facebook.com/Jacksonville Jaguars. Back after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. And welcome back to the Mike Mularkey Show. Coach, chased inside again by the weather a bit today.
Yes, we were. It's just it's amazing how it's kind of the cells just develop over you like they do. But really, we're getting a lot done. We are going into a club lounge area, which you wouldn't think we could practice. But with the guys we have, they know how to do it. We go in there. We've done it now probably half a dozen times, and it's a walk-through anyhow. So instead of walking through on the field, we're walking through the lounge. And it's all about up to the snap, the communication, the hearing it in the huddle, right, and then the step through, just making sure we're on the right people. We're getting a lot done, and I'm satisfied.
But I think everyone listening understands that there's talk about building a building so that you could have an indoor facility. Did you find that you used it in Atlanta quite a bit?
Oh, we did.
Yeah.
We did. Actually, when I was in Miami, they had just gotten a bubble, and it was amazing. It wasn't just for the rain and the lightning. It was a chance, even on the really hot, humid days, you could go in there, do your walkthrough, keep the guys out of the heat for even 20 minutes, 25 minutes, then go out. And just that little bit of time out of it made a difference in those guys and their energy level.
It sounds like to not have it is almost a competitive disadvantage in today's NFL.
It can be. The majority of the teams have them. It just allows you to do what you're doing and not miss a beat. And I think it's in the plans here, and that'd be nice to have, that we can adjust and, you know, just make a decision. We're going.
It sounds like that's coming closer and closer for at least 2013.
That'd be great.
You have to jump a little bit through hoops this year for sure. Hey, got a question here about Rashad Jennings, and the question simply, did he perform as well against your expectations as he did against the fans' expectations? They were all happy with what they saw.
Yeah, I was very happy. And I think the one thing you saw with him earlier on in the scrimmage, the first couple times, he didn't hit it downhill. Not like he was later. Not it wasn't a drastic change, but there was definitely, as the scrimmage was going on, the more chances he was getting, it was more north-south, downhill, and physically running over guys that were going to get in his way. So I was very pleased with him.
And
he's definitely a threat out of the backfield catching the ball.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, as good as one I've had in a long time.
You know, we didn't get to see him last year because he was an IR, but 2 years ago, late in the season here, he had a 74-yard touchdown run against the Raiders. It was a 3rd-and-2, and they just sent him wide to the left to say, you know, go get us the first down. And then he cut it back in, and then he took it right up the middle of the field.
Yeah, I mean, when he hits it, he hits it. He does. He really hits it, hits the hole, which is not, in most cases, not open very long. So it was nice to see him hit that thing.
Do you have to teach him to be a power back? to play with a power mentality?
No, I think he has that mentality already. Yeah. The only thing I'd like him to see him do is drop his shoulders down a little bit, be a little not so upright so he doesn't take some of the shots. But, you know, you saw in the scrimmage, he was not that he made the pile move.
Right.
That was really nice to see.
All right. We've got one more break, Coach. We'll come back and wrap up the Mike Mularkey Show for a Monday evening right after this on Jaguars Radio. All right, back to wrap things up here over the next few minutes with the head coach of the Jaguars, Mike Mularkey. The Giants here, by the way, 7:30 kickoff. Our broadcast gets underway at 4:30 for those of you in Jacksonville. Kickoff at 7:30. So how much prep do you actually do for your first preseason opponent?
Not a lot. Not a lot. We're still in the training camp mode. We're still installing the system, both offensively, defensively, and special teams. We will look at them. There'll be a plan, but not like there is during a regular season. That will come more probably the Baltimore, the third game, where we actually will plan out just like a real week. This year it's only a six-day separation between the two games, between New Orleans and Baltimore. So it'll be a little bit of a grind to try to put a game plan together. But this one's, not a lot of thought going into it. Let the guys play, especially the young guys. You don't want to make it too complicated.
Last couple of summers, you've worked against the Jaguars when you were with Atlanta. You didn't do that this year here, so I imagine the chance to see the Giants and see someone else is going to be good for your team.
Oh, these guys have been waiting to play a game for a long time.
Yeah.
So we're all anxious to get a chance to watch them play and perform in front of our home crowd, and it'll be a great environment. I think everybody's ready to play.
I think so. I think everyone's ready to watch you guys play, too. And
right.
What I think is interesting is that you and I have sat here and had this conversation, and we've talked about different guys, and there's an excitement level that you have for this football team. And I think that a lot of people on the outside of Jacksonville look at it and go, oh, well, it's just the Jaguars.
Perfect.
And yeah.
It's perfect.
All right, so we won't ruin it.
So, yeah, I wouldn't even talk any more about it. We're good.
All right. Well, then let's talk about the backup punter. Oh, you don't have one of those.
No, I like where we're at right now. I like you know, we have good people, and I'm talking about it's not going to be about the players and the coaches. We got people that can do special things here, and I'm just excited about the guys that are going to step on that field. I just think they'll be prepared, and I know one thing, they will fight to the end, good or bad. You're going to have a bunch of guys that are going to do it the right way, and very proud of them to this point.
There's a good chemistry going here.
There really is.
You developed it pretty quickly.
They're really, I mean, it was easy because the locker room is so, the coaches are, you know, I knew that when I hired them. That's why I hired the majority of them. Yeah, I did, because I knew it would be an easy mix with that locker room that's in there right now. So I think we like being around each other, which is hard in training camp.
Yeah.
You know, because this is
so much time together.
There's so much time together, but we like being around each other. We like what we're doing. They work hard when they're on the field. They study when they're in the classroom, and you know, and we do things like we did yesterday with the watching the race, and those things, they're little things, but they go a long way.
Now, is Aaron going to bring Sandra or
Sonya
and the medal in?
That was part of the deal.
Okay.
I thought the coolest thing that I saw today and was her, I guess it was on an iPad, watching us watch her. And then I got word that she had tears in her eyes, that she, you know, it had a clip of our team watching her on the big screen in the stadium, and I understand she had tears in her eyes, and that means it was just a neat moment yesterday. And
you couldn't have known when you said absolutely go that it was going to turn into something that special, could you?
No, I didn't. And thank gosh she won. Yeah. That's certainly.
Absolutely. Congratulations to the Rosses.
Absolutely. We'll have her in some point.
Maybe we can have her a guest on your show.
That'd be cool.
That would be cool. Coach, thanks so much for your time tonight.
All right, Brian. It's great.
Folks, we will talk to you next week here on the Mike Mularkey Show.